Welcome back to Real Phonies, where we take a love for movies and television and combine it with very little knowledge about movies and television. I'm your host, Christian. Joined with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Joseph.
Yellow.
And Jay Hugh. Here this week to discuss, once again, a movie nobody watched months later, Mickey 17.
Is that what we should change our intro tagline to?
Watching the things that you never did. The latest film from Bong Joon-ho, starring Robert Pattinson, Steven Yeun, and Naomi Ackie, Mark Ruffalo.
Toni Collette,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That is it for all the people who are not career background actors.
Yes.
There are people in this movie that you might recognize, right, but you're never going to know their name.
100%.
And it follows a guy named Mickey who is on a colonization mission to a random planet in space and whose sole job is to die. And the movie asks, but what if he doesn't? Yeah, what did you guys think of this movie?
Yeah, so to be fair, I didn't really know what to expect out of this. I know that you confided in me a take I'm confident it's going to show up, mm-hmm, and I don't think it was far off. But, you know, this is... was this his first one after Parasite? Yeah. So... you know, he's got a couple Korean films that are supposed to be very great that I haven't seen. He's got Snowpiercer, one of my favorite movies, mm-hmm, of all time. He's got Okja, which is a weird movie about a giant pig. And then fucking Parasite, you know, best picture winner, great movie. Had no idea what to expect coming into this one. And I was kind of mostly disappointed that it was fine. I liked it. I like this movie. I think it's better than Transformers. I think the performances are really good. I don't know. It was it didn't compel me. I watched it over in two sittings, which is always kind of not a bad sign, but not a good sign. You know, I'm not like, yeah, I can't wait to watch the next bit. And yeah, I don't know what I was expecting from it, but I guess I just expected more of something. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Maybe my expectations weren't as high because I've seen zero of those movies that you mentioned that he's done before. So I went into this.
You haven't seen Snowpiercer?
I've seen Snowpiercer.
You didn't see Parasite?
I didn't see Parasite. But you know what, Joseph? I don't love Snowpiercer. I think it's fine.
How do we vote people off the podcast?
Going into this, I didn't know it was the Snowpiercer guy. I knew nothing about who it was or what to respect, except Robert Pattinson seems like a fun guy.
Sure.
And me and Sarah started this with that intention that we were like, we'll watch like half of this now and half of it tonight. We've got things to do. And we loved it. We watched the whole thing. Is it clever? Like, is it going to sneak up on you? No, it's about exactly what you think.
Yeah,
it's about. It's about Trump.
It's, I mean,
if
sure.
If you want to watch a movie about Trump sucks, this is a good movie to watch. If you don't want to watch that, then, you know, Fox News is on. But I enjoyed this movie a lot. It definitely, a lot of it is floated off of Robert Pattinson being likable.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's fine. Mark Ruffalo, completely over the top. Like, I would go as far as to say campy. But, you know, it works in the context of what he's playing, which is a campy ham. You know, so I like this better than Transformers.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Trump thing, because that's something I want to come back around.
I don't think it's a thing we couldn't talk about.
Yeah, I want to talk more about. I don't know if we're going to, like, there's no real spoilers. Whatever you saw of the trailer of this movie this movie.
I think that's part of what surprised me.
You say that, but I felt very similar about Mickey 17 as I did in Parasite, which is in Parasite, there's definitely an underlying tone of, like, there could be something supernatural going on.
Yeah. Right.
And then they never pull the rug out.
Right, exactly.
You. And the same thing is true in this movie, that, like, the whole time I was like, though, there could be something else coming.
Right.
And it just never does.
No.
Well, I tell you what the biggest surprise for me was. If you show me there's going to be two of a person in the trailer, then I assume that in the movie there's going to be three.
Yeah.
You know, multiplicity rules.
Sure.
And there's not. There's just the two.
Yeah. Guys, I hate this movie.
Really?
I thought it was terrible. And what this movie reminded, my analogy for this movie, because I also like Snowpiercer, I also like Parasite, of things that I've seen of his, is sometimes, you know, you go to make a cake and you put all the ingredients in the cake and you make a batter and you put it in the pan and you put it in the oven and you set the timer and then the timer goes off and you open the oven and your cake fell. Like, it just never was firm. Right. And it went, and you have to start all over. And you're like, what went wrong? I had all the right ingredients, but I made a shitty cake.
Right.
That is this movie. There are all the right ingredients for a good movie here, and for some reason it's a bad movie. And I have like two big reasons why I think that is. One of them has to do with Donald J. Trump. The other one is essentially, and I will go more into detail later, but I just don't think this movie has anything new to say that something better isn't already saying.
Yeah, I think that's what surprised me. I don't really feel like it said like anything. I mean, again, like very straightforward, like Trump bad, killing animals and indigenous populations bad.
Yeah.
And that's it.
and capitalism sucks for the guy on the bottom.
Sure,
capitalism. Even if you're slightly above that person, you have no sympathy for
that. I don't even
count
that as a message in a movie anymore, because that's like 80% of
that's
it.
That's true.
So, yeah, spoilers for this movie. If I can, I think it's worse than Transformers. They're better than Transformers.
First of all, I just want to say that's surprising, because I saw your post on Threads about it, and I thought you were saying that it was just fine, but I didn't know you were actively against it.
It is a movie. I'll give it that. So the whole time I'm watching it, I kept reminding me of how I feel about Ready Player One, which is that when I watch Ready Player One and the T-Rex pops up, I'm like, fuck, the T-Rex is cool. I should just watch Jurassic Park instead of this movie. And so the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, yeah, capitalism sucks for the little guy. You know what told this story really well in dystopian space? Fucking Alien Romulus.
That is true.
I should just watch Alien Romulus.
Yeah.
There's nothing that this movie says in 2 hours and 20 minutes that a 20-minute episode of Rick and Morty doesn't also tell me.
I mean, it did feel like a really long Rick and Morty episode. Again, I really liked it, but that's a good call. It was a Rick and Morty episode that Rick and Morty didn't show up to.
Yeah. Well, and even their archetypes are kind of, the two Mickeys are Rick and Morty.
Kind of Rick and Morty. That's a great point.
That's a great point. That's
like,
true.
I just don't think there's anything here of substance. And when they try to, it's like, I think back of like, there's the scene where they catch Stephen Ewan doing the drug deal in like the furnace basement, and it reminds me, there's a fucking killer ass Cowboy Bebop episode where there's like a drug deal go wrong in space, and it ends up with people dying, and that's just way better. And I like, you're not telling me anything. Something hasn't already told me. And that other thing told it better. And so it's just really, I feel like I'm wasting my time watching this movie.
Speaking of Stephen Ewan, has he been in another movie where he played a dirtbag?
He's great.
He's great. That's all he should play.
I don't think we appreciate Stephen Ewan because he is probably one of my, like, of this generation of actor.
Well, I think part of it is because mostly what we know him from is being on Walking Dead for 900 years. And he just played a blank slate on that, basically.
I don't think his character in Nope is a dirtbag.
Oh, no, he definitely is, but it's a completely different kind flavor, for sure.
But, yeah, the whole time I was like, God, this guy is fucking eating this shit, dude. He's killing it. And Robert Pattinson's great. The performances are good.
Robert Pattinson's whole thing, first off, a great, not only American accent, but just, like, whole voice thing, you know what I mean? And very clear distinction between the Mickeys, voice, presence, everything.
It was kind of weird, though, because we hadn't set up a distinction between the other Mickeys. You know what I mean?
Right. No, they definitely, it is weird, because they explain that post-talk. Like, after Mickey 18, Mickey 17 talks about how, like,
five was kind of weak.
Right, exactly. But it does seem like it would have hit better if we knew in advance that they could be different.
Also, the vaguely New Jersey-esque accent to 17, 18 doesn't have.
At all.
And I realize why they did that, so we have a distinction, but I feel like I wanted some explanation. But also, I get mad about that. I get mad about people. I need something to explain. No, you don't. It's just like that because the story.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I agree with you. I wholeheartedly. I do just think it's almost like it's two different things in that, like, the first 16, 17 Mickeys we present as the same.
Right.
If that information hadn't been there at all,
right,
and we just went with 17 and 18 being kind of different,
right,
I probably would have bought it a bit more.
Right.
That background information. God, by the way, it's like 25 fucking minutes of exposition at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
Well, see, my favorite movie of all time is Raising Arizona,
yeah,
so that sort of was endearing
that
to me.
Swore you, yeah, yeah, got you in. So, okay, so my problem with the Donald Trump thing, all right, here's, I'm going to take, it's going to be a hot take.
Okay.
I understand that.
Okay.
And I'm going to push back on your argument here, is that my problem with doing a Donald Trump take in any, it should be off limits, and not off limits because of the Fox News argument like you made. It should be off limits because there's no satire that you can do of it.
Sure.
We live in the goddamn picture.
Right.
This
yeah.
is the, we live in the caricature. Like, there's no room to go farther than
right,
right.
We've already hit the wall. If you had done this in 2007 and you're like, hey, guys, at the end of the George Bush administration, the right's getting a little fucking crazy. Like, here's what right. could happen.
Right.
Perfectly valid
sure.
then. The problem is now it's like you're just punching down. And because everyone who's watching this movie already knows. We already know the lesson. The people who you need to tell the lesson to, they haven't even fucking forgiven Bong Joon-ho for winning Best Picture 3 years ago
true.
For right. a movie they haven't watched. Like, who the fuck are you talking to at this
right.
point?
I can't believe they're giving Oscars to China now.
I mean, I will say that, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, and I've said this many times on the podcast, that coming at an issue from the side through science fiction mm-hmm. is better than coming head on.
I agree with that.
We literally just did that in Alien Romulus. Yeah. We talked about that.
You know, that Star Trek episode with the split face aliens mm-hmm. taught me more about racism than
yeah.
any newscast I've ever watched. But I think we can safely say at this point that speaking about Trump using satire and sci-fi ain't fucking working.
No.
Yeah.
We've covered it. We've yeah. done all we can with that. It, you know, it's time to arm up.
And that's actually kind of my rebuttal to also to T-Hurt is as hammy as fucking Mark Ruffalo is in this, mm. I don't think it's ham enough. Toni Collette gets it.
Yes.
she absolutely
does laps around
yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. He still like, I want to be able to come back from this. She's like, I'm going to be fine.
100%. Right.
And I respect her far more for
absolutely.
Yeah.
I will say on the biggest check against this movie for me, because the whole time we're going through it, I was like, yep, this is real life. Yep, this is real life. Yep, this is real life. When we get to the end and there's the guys who are kind of oversight, who are kind of like, okay, we're going to do something about this. Like, okay, you kind of lost.
100%.
We don't have those guys. You shouldn't introduce those guys. Cause
well, I
hate that now we're turning to sci-fi to have happy endings.
Right. Yeah. Well, it should, right?
Well, I will say though, I mean, you know, Mickey 18 had the correct ending. Some people are going to have to go down for something to happen.
Well, and I guess to the heavy ending point and to the oversight guy point is like, at the end, I'm watching it. I'm like, I've seen all of these people do fucked up shit at one point or time in this movie. And now we're like praising them as heroes. And I guess at the end of the day, you're just like, man, the best of us is still not probably pretty good.
Right.
And again, not necessarily happy ending, it's science fiction, but I still wouldn't make fucking Naomi Aki's character the president of our new planet.
Right.
Like, she tried to kill that dude with a chainsaw at one point.
I mean, killing the dude with the chainsaw isn't even, the fact that she was like,
trying to bang two dudes.
She was like methed out and decided, okay, I'm going to keep these two dudes as pets.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even like, oh, you get a choice in whether or not we're in a relationship together. No, you're both the same guy, and you both belong to me.
Yeah, we're going to Eiffel Tower it right now. Yeah, Moon is a better version of this movie.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, no, you're not wrong. There's no way it wouldn't get the comparison.
Yeah.
And if to Hurt's point, if there were more clones, it would be less Moony, but it is literally just the two clones that are slightly different. One's kind of optimistic
and the reactions
and one's kind
are
of angry.
The same.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. It's the same roles.
Yeah, 100%, without a doubt. How do we just one of the things I like about Bong Joon-ho is just like little practical details in his things. How do we love the little person printer? And the fact that it like does a little jolt like backward and forth.
It kind of sucks.
I loved it so much.
Yeah. I did like the bits. And again, it's just super Rick and Morty, but like they slowly stop caring to put the table like over.
It's really good.
Fucking funny.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
For most of the parts, the jokes don't really hit for me, but that one.
Yeah, there's a couple in there.
I mean, there's a lot of fucking jokes.
There are a lot. Well, again, it's there's a lot of satire, and I don't know how many of them I'm supposed to be laughing at.
See, again, you know, I'm a big believer more than anything, expectations is the enemy of comedy.
Sure.
That's why a comedy sequel is so hard to land. So I guess since I didn't have expectations in this, I laughed all the way through it.
I will say, maybe I am the victim of expectation here. I've never laughed at one of his movies before. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think Parasite has humor in it, but it didn't play like necessarily like as a gag.
Right.
This is definitely gags, and I just didn't hit for me.
I mean, I didn't even think of this. 100% that dude watched Rick and Morty and was like, I just want to do something like that.
Yeah, it's based on a novel. I haven't read the book, but
Mickey 7. He said he wanted to do Mickey 17 so he could kill him 10 more times.
That's endearing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, look. Again, I came away with this just kind of disappointed, but still feeling like it's a good movie. But now that we've talked about it, this absolutely would have been like a maximum 5-minute Rick and Morty montage in another episode about something fucking else.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of other opinions. Those two things really got me down.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It's also funny, Joseph, since you insisted on doing this, I thought you would.
No,
really liked it, but it's just the thing you've been able to watch.
I was excited to watch it because I love Parasite. I love Snowpiercer. I'm excited to see what he does next. Right. And also, Susie wrote in a couple weeks ago and suggested that we watch it.
Oh, right on.
To be fair, I don't think that she told us it was good. I think she just said it was interesting, which. I'm actually not even sure it was.
Yeah. I found it to be very boring.
It was... It's surprisingly forgettable for...
Dude.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm more positive to you guys, but I really am surprised by how different my experience with this was than y'all.
Watching it, I look at my phone at one point, and I'm like, it's only been 4 fucking minutes since the last time I looked at my phone. And I'm like, there's been like 5 scenes since then.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand... Like, the scene time in this movie is, like, 90 seconds. Like, it's moving.
Yeah.
Right.
We're changing locations. We're changing characters fast. We're doing all of that, and yet nothing really seems to be happening. Like, and I couldn't equate to, like, you know, Avatar Way of Water is long as fuck. But in the theater, like, it went by pretty fast. Like, I was like, oh, dude, that was a pretty quick 3.5-hour movie. This 2-hour and 20-minute movie, and again, it took me it felt like 6 fucking days. Like, it felt like forever to get through it. And maybe just because I wasn't having a good time, but I don't know. This movie's not good.
I watched it with ads, and you know I hate a lot of
movies. I watched with ads, too.
Yeah. And it didn't bother me that much.
I'm standing by better than Transformers.
Yeah, I'm sticking with worse than Transformers.
That's well, I'm definitely going with better than Transformers. I enjoyed it a lot.
Because if only on principle in that we should be supporting weird shit like this being made.
That's fair. The general public, I mean, we didn't give it money.
No.
More weird shit's getting made because of that.
Well, I was going to say I gave HBO money, but that's actually not true. My father gave HBO money.
At least you guys had to like at the end that the you know indigenous people didn't actually have magical powers.
Yeah, that
they
was
were
funny.
Just bluffing.
Yeah,
because I mean you know indigenous people are always treated as you know we have some special thing we can do and that's why you're supposed to care about them. Whereas this was you're just supposed to care about them because they're there.
Sure.
Right.
Why is there... There's a clear end to this movie, and then there's 20 more minutes.
Yeah.
Like, there's a point where you're like, okay, fucking fade to black. And then there's 20 minutes after that.
Well, because also, showing that we were still going to destroy the printer was like, okay, here's where we get the third clone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, we've established that the printer's still here. Mickey could have made another Mickey by this point. But there's no other Mickey. There was just the two Mickeys.
So the only reason I don't want all those 20 minutes, but I do want it just because, again, Toni Collette taps into a hereditary Toni Collette. And that's also a great scene. I really enjoy that scene.
That scene, I don't think, adds anything to the movie.
No.
Other than my enjoyment of watching Toni Collette eat that scene.
100%.
Yeah. Right.
You can't cut it. You're, like, sitting in the editing room. You're like, I don't know what this adds. We're going to be done. But then you watch her do it. You're like, well, fuck, keep it in.
Right. You've got to see it just because it's done so well.
I just want to point out, I don't think you guys gave me any rebuttals to my opinion, so I feel very wrong. I think I presented good arguments.
Well, I mean, most of your opinions, I was like, yeah, I can see that and kind of can even expand on that. But I also still really like this movie.
I think that's always the case. Is I feel like most of the time we dislike things. Like, yeah, I agree that those are true. Yeah. It just didn't diminish my experience.
I didn't feel any need to change my opinion.
Do we have anything else on this? We feel like we've nailed Mickey 17.
I like the design on it, even though the design is very unoriginal.
Design on what?
Just the whole thing. The look of the ship. I love the look of the aliens.
All the looks are good, yeah.
No, no. They all look exactly like what they're supposed to look like, but they look like a good version of that.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say.
All right, well, that's it for Mickey 17. Look, I'll still watch your next thing.
I'll watch the next thing.
With that in mind, what have we been watching for the last however long it's been, fellas?
I don't remember most things I watched, so I'm going to talk about... We all want to convince you to watch Andor Season 2, so I won't talk about Andor Season 2. I'll talk about the Season 2 of the other show that just ended, The Last of Us.
Mm.
Have you guys watched Last of Us Season 2?
So, Sarah had never watched Season 1, but she's in love with Pedro now. So
this feels like a good show if you're in love with Pedro.
Right. So we started watching season one.
Oh, I think I know where the story's going.
But then she got spoiled about what happens in season two, and then we're no longer watching it.
Okay.
So I haven't got to it yet, but I have no problem with being spoiled. Go ahead.
Okay. So it's bad. Last of Us season two is bad. And it's bad. It's bad for all the reasons the worst people on the planet say it's bad. Let me be very clear here. Bella Ramsey is not bad in the show. I think she's great as Ellie in the first season, but I think she's great as Ellie in the first season because what really works is her and Pedro Pascal's chemistry.
100%. Like,
Ellie and they're a great Ellie and Joel combo.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Bella Ramsey in season two is they ask Bella to be the main character, right. And I don't know that she's able to carry it. Like, and I hate to say that, but golly, every other character just outshines.
Right.
Like, every scene they're in. I've talked about it a bunch. I think Isabella Merced is, like, a fucking future movie star. Like, I think she's very good. Also, by the way, weird, you know, that she's been typecast as pregnant girl in dystopian future. It's a weird niche that she keeps finding herself in. She's fucking good in those parts, though. So, whatever. Keep casting her in it. She's great as Dina. She fucking steals the show in scenes that she's in. And I think the rest of the cast. I think Caitlin Dever is good as Abby. Of course, if you're familiar with the story that they're telling in season two, Abby's really not in it very much. She's in the first couple episodes and then goes away for a while. I'm excited to see, knowing, you know, that she kind of becomes the lead in the next season, I'm excited to see her kind of carry the show on her own. This show isn't bad. I don't know that Bella Ramsey has the acting chops to carry the show as the lead. And then the second thing that, again, all the worst people in the world say, but is also very true, the changes to the video game, I think, are bad choices.
Yes.
And sometimes you can adapt things and make good choices. Joseph and I, we just had this conversation, so he's hearing all of this for the second time. But there's this very important scene in the video game where Ellie learns that Dina is pregnant, which I just spoiled like 2 minutes ago. So,
right.
That Dina is pregnant, and she's just a total bitch about it. She's just a raging asshole. Talks about, you know, how can you bring a child into this world? You're weighing this down. We're trying to do something, and you're being selfish, yada, yada. Being just absolutely terrible. But the point of that scene is to show that Ellie is, like, revenge-obsessed. She's too far gone. She's just become the worst parts of the world that they live in now. And in the show, Ellie is overjoyed that Dina is having a baby. And it's literally the complete opposite. And you lose all weight and like of what that is supposed to be.
Right.
I just don't understand. Tommy is really sidelined this season, and I think the guy who plays Tommy is very good. I wish he had been given the kind of plot points that Tommy's given in the game. It was pretty disappointing.
It's one. I don't know. See, it's one of those things where I don't know. I there's a part of me that can understand just making like a bad choice. The problem for me with this show is every time they made a choice, it made me feel like they thought I was fucking stupid. And I hate that. That makes me so fucking angry. And it's just crazy to me because, I mean, so Neil Druckmann, who made the video game, like his whole goal coming into these games was like make essentially like a legitimate narrative story, you know, like a thing that's not just like it's good for a video game, like something that's fucking good, period, that people will remember. And it's just so crazy to me because I feel like the medium of video games is still widely considered just like a child thing, like you know, it's you know, shooting people and profanity and you know, it's just goofy bullshit for children. And it's just crazy to me that we've dumbed down the video game for prestige television on HBO. And absolutely, the biggest problem to me with like the writing and the changes is just because they don't trust the audience to do anything, to like make the connections, to trust the character, to like a character when they do something despicable. Like, it just, it fucking sucks.
You're right. There is definitely a sense of, you're probably spot on exactly what's going on here. In the game, it does everything it can to make you not like the character.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the character you're playing.
Yeah. Right. You know, from... And we've talked about this with Last of Us Season 1. Like, you know, Joel's whole... Like, the question that is asked in the beginning of this game is, you know, essentially, is Joel a hero? And you're like, well, fuck, now you gotta come to... And then, is Ellie even a hero? Because she's revenge... Is fucking Abby... Like, is anyone good in this world? And the answer is, probably not.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably they're all terrible. And it tells you that without abandon. Mm-hmm. It has no fear in telling you these are bad people.
Yeah.
The show absolutely does not want to do that.
Yeah.
That's you're spot on. Yeah, it sucks.
Well, having not watched this, I thought that the reason that they go through with the thing is because they were slavishly following the adaptation. If they're going to change something, why wouldn't they change that? The thing where they get to keep the most likable actor on Earth on their fucking show.
Well, I mean, the season's only 8 episodes, and he's in 3 of them. Right. So he's almost in half
of
the show.
He's probably in flashbacks and more than that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he's
going to they do all the flashbacks in one episode.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah. So if you, like, it's Joseph's point.
That's also bad. Spread it out.
The birthday flashbacks happen periodically. They do them all in one episode. And that episode fucking rocks!
I'm sure.
Because like, the strength of the show is Bella Ramsey and Pedro Pascal seem to genuinely like each other and act well together.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that old man Jehu has harped on a few times. But I think one of the problems, you know... Of course, modern TV is better than so much of old TV. But one thing that old TV did that new TV does not do is figure out things on the fly and figure out something is working. This destination we're going to may not be the right destination because it's going to take away this thing that's working. And I think that's it. You know, the strength of this show was those two people interacting, and you've got someone sitting right here that basically like, well, when I hear I'm no longer going to have that, I kind of don't have an interest in the show anymore.
Yeah. I would be curious how you make it work with, spoiler, Joel has to die. Like, right. I don't know how the show works.
I was going to say, I mean, you could do a completely different story, I guess, but that's like the whole fucking point. But I don't know whose point it was, but like, you know, one of the big things about Joel dying is it's supposed to fucking challenge the audience and be like, these were the two people you're following. One's fucked off, and like, maybe rightly so. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Abby has a great argument.
100%. But yeah, I don't know. If, again, to do that story and like not fully commit to it, like, defeats the whole point to me.
Yeah. That's it. I've bitched enough about this show.
So, I have a sort of tragic relationship with snacks. There are snacks that I get really attached to and they get discontinued. Ginger wasabi, Kittle Cooked Lay's an example. Cranberry Red Bull. My all-time favorite snack, actually it's part of a combo, but I need this part for the combo, was guacamole Doritos and Orange Crush in a glass bottle. Orange Crush in a plastic bottle or a can, don't even put that shit in front of my face. It's a completely different beverage. So the guacamole Doritos were from like late 90s, early 2000s. It also coincided with when I was my absolute heaviest. You know, I was dubbed the Scarlet Chubster by my friends at that time, which I don't know what the scarlet part was. I'm not redheaded. I don't have a penchant for red. The Chubster part was totally warranted, but Scarlet, I still don't get. And they discontinued those. And I'm like, well, you know, and I've been missing those for 20-odd years. And they brought them back this month. So I went out, I bought the Orange Crush. I bought the things. I sat down. With Sarah. I was like, we're going to have my favorite snack ever. It's not the same fucking shit.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not.
And I was like, am I imagining this? Sarah, use the internet to find out if I'm imagining this. I'm not imagining this. Everybody says that they're different. Fuck that. Doritos, worse than Transformers. Fuck you guys till you fix this. How dare you get my hopes up?
Hurt, I was trying very quickly to find the name of this thing that I can't remember. So I'm going to have to make up names for it. But in like marketing, consumer science-y kind of thing, when they're tracking how well things sell and whatever, they track specific people, and they found that there are people who more consistently pick foods and products that will be successful. So they're like star consumers,
right?
And there's like a slightly higher than average likelihood of, you know, whatever product these people buy has a better chance of succeeding.
Right.
What they found out later is that there is the flip side of that, where there are consumers that consistently buy products that do not succeed, and there's a much higher consistency rate, association rate with that consumer buying a product and then that product being discontinued. One, I think that's just interesting, but two, it leads to, you know, this whole world of very sad people who find new things that they're excited about and like, and then they go away
just
forever.
Keep losing
and
them.
I didn't know that you were one of those people.
They should just hire me for market research. Give me a bite. I like this. Okay. Put it on the shelf. This one's not going out. Yeah, that's a real bummer to know that. I'm a type of person. And it's that's type hilarious. Of person. This last week, I went to the Wharf to see Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah, that was interesting to me that I learned that about you.
I've always been a mark for Dwight. You know, that whole late 80s, there was this sort of resurgence of country guys who were doing traditional country guys right before that would kind of disappear forever on country radio and that would become something that you see in alternative rock instead. But, you know, there was George Strait and there was Randy Travis and there was Dwight Yoakam. But the only one of those guys I really loved was Dwight Yoakam. And also because he's kind of a funny guy, you know. And so I went and saw that. Dwight was absolutely awesome. He played every song I wanted to hear except for Ain't That Lonely Yet, so that's pretty good, you know. And the opener was a band called the Mavericks, which I remembered from one hit in the 90s and never looked into further, and that was a huge mistake. The Mavericks are fucking incredible. Just one of the best live bands I've ever seen in my life. And if you explain them to me, if you said, oh, this is a band that they do sort of classic honky-tonk country mixed with sort of oldie-style root rock with heavy Latin influence, I would be like, well, that sounds fucking boring. I'm not wanting to listen to NPR. I want to fucking rock. And I would have been wrong about that. But I am. I think that mixing genres is overrated. You always want it to be the Beastie Boys, but it's usually fucking 311. You know, these guys are the Beastie Boys. It's just a really great fucking band, better than Transformers. They're also a band that I would say if you're going to check out something by them, check out their brand newest record, Moon and Stars. They're still kicking right now, and it's a great fucking record. Every record song from it sounds like it should be in a movie. In fact, I know that there's talk that McConaughey and Woody are getting back together for another season of True Detective. You guys heard that?
I have not.
Nick, whatever his last name is, says he has a story for them and they're interested. The first track on this record should be the new theme song. It's called The Years Will Not Be Kind, and it sounds like it's auditioning for True Detective. Better than Transformers on that. I don't think I got anything else worth talking about.
Boy, there's no way that's going to be good if that gets made.
I disagree because I just started watching the first season again the other day, and man, just the
I feel like we do this once a month, and once a month you just started watching True Detective again.
That first episode, really, I don't even need that whole show. I just need that first scene where Matthew McConaughey first opens up to Woody.
Yeah.
Where he tells him his whole agenda. And Woody's... because I think everybody watches that and thinks, I'm this guy or that guy. But really, everybody's both those guys.
Mm.
You're that guy when you're telling your story. And you're the other guy when you're having to hear someone's story.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, shit, I don't have a ton to talk about. Did I talk about Elden Ring the last time we did this?
I don't think you have.
Okay. So, Elden Ring, it's a From Software game. They make the Dark Souls, Demon Souls games. Only thing, reason I bring it up is they're just, like, famously difficult video games, which is not really my jam. Right. So it's my first one, and going into it, I wasn't sure if it was going to be for me. And then, like... 5 hours in, I was about ready to quit, but I powered through, and now I'm like 150 hours in. And here's what I'll say about this game. So, the one game of the year, like 2-3 years ago, it is a great game. It is a game that's so good that I want to stop playing it, and I fucking can't. I beat the game. I beat the game 2 more times to get the Platinum Trophy, and now I'm fucking playing it again. And I don't know why. I don't know what I'm trying to get out of this experience. I just fucking like doing it. And I'm ready to move on just because I don't think it's interesting to talk about. It wasn't interesting to talk about to people from the start, and it's definitely not interesting to talk about people 2 months later.
Right.
I just can't fucking stop playing it. So you know what? Good job, FromSoft. It's a good fucking game. And the only other thing, my wife and I just started on the British show Taskmaster. Have you guys seen it? Have you heard of it?
I've not heard or seen it.
Okay. It's actually, if you've ever watched any, like, Game Changer, it kind of reminds me of Game Changer. But the premise is, traditionally, they get, like, 5 British comedians. I would say homely British comedians, but it's implied.
Right.
And make them do just absolutely ridiculously embarrassing things on camera in some kind of loose form of competition. And then at the end of the episode, one of the comedians wins a bunch of junk. And it's very, I mean, it's pretty entertaining. My friend Zach's been on it forever and has been trying to get me on it. This year, they had their first non-British comedian on, which was Jason Mantzoukas.
Oh, I really like that. Yeah.
And Jason Mantzoukas, again, the first one that they've ever had on this show, and it's like, you know, been on for 14, 15 series at this point, got on the show because he just asked to. He sent an email to somebody's agent to say, like, can I get on Taskmaster? I'm like, yeah, sure. So apparently it's not been an exclusive club. I think it's just whoever they can get.
Right.
Anyway, very entertaining. It's on YouTube for fucking free, so you can't beat that.
Right.
Great shit, and it's been really fun to watch with my wife because she really enjoys the show as a whole and the concept. But coming into the show, we had very opposite opinions on Jason Mantzoukas.
Right.
I really enjoy him. I enjoy like his whole shtick right. all the way around. She hates his shtick, and it offends her personally.
Right.
And I was like, well, this is like, I mean, it is a performance, but it's not like he's not in one of his characters. He's like a heightened version of Jason Mantzoukas
right.
For the show. Maybe it'll paint a different picture. It fucking does not. but it 100%, like, he has come into this being, I'm going to be the loudest, most disruptive American I possibly can and give us the worst reputation I can. And it's fucking hilarious, and I love it, and my wife hates it.
I mean, he seems really qualified.
Yeah, 100%. So anyway, yeah, if you're looking for something like we are, because anime is bad right now, Taskmaster, good shit.
Do you have more? Because
that's it. No, that's
okay.
It
I wanted to add. I'm really surprised, Jones, that you didn't talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah, I thought about bringing it up.
Because here's the thing. I, you know, from way back when I started watching Doctor Who, I'm still watching it. And I'm still enjoying it, but I'm taking forever. Like, I'm still in like fucking Matt Smith. That's how long it's taking me. But how badly the internet have reacted to the end of this season? Like, I'm gonna power through this shit to get.
Do you know what it is?
I know that Billy Piper is involved. That's the only thing I really know.
I won't spoil anything else for you. So, Doctor Who, about 3 or 4 years ago now, announced that it was getting... Oh, the distribution rights were moving off HBO Max. And all of this is important, I think.
Right.
HBO Max and going to Disney Plus internationally. And one of the big changes was we're going to bring back Russell T. Davies. And what people should know... is that Again, I feel like I'm agreeing with the worst parts of the internet. The Jodie Whittaker seasons...
Ian, when did you get here?
Jodie Whittaker seasons are bad. Jodie is good as the Doctor. The seasons are bad. And I mean, everything's bad. From the TARDIS to the fucking sonic screwdriver.
Well, I have watched a little of those, and it seems like they reverted to, like, the very earliest Doctor Who with her. That it was, like, almost, like, educational or some shit.
Well, and they just... Doctor Who always tries to come up with ways to kind of, like, rewrite the history of Doctor Who. But this was like, we're gonna just do something completely out of left field, and it doesn't work. A lot of times, it can work in Doctor Who. You get around, and you're like, okay, I can get on board with that. It does not work in Jodie's seasons. So there's a hard break.
Right.
So they bring Russell T. Davies back, and what he's decided is like, hey, this is number 15, but we're starting back series one.
Right.
Like, you can start right here. The fuck you can. they were two short seasons. They were like 8 episodes each.
Right.
They shot them basically back to back. One came out last year, one came out this year. And it relies so heavily on knowing old Doctor Who.
Right.
Doctor Who.
And it relies so much on, like, knowing the history. And also, by the way, like, oh, here are these characters we haven't seen in 40 fucking years. We're going to completely change everything about them. And that doesn't really upset me. That's fine. Whatever. But, and I don't think it upset most people, but it felt very gimmicky. It felt like they didn't have something to really say or stories to really write. It's, you know, we're bringing back, I won't say, because I don't want to fucking spoil it, but there's probably 5 villains that we haven't seen at least since the 80s that they brought back in these two seasons.
Right.
And so it just felt the whole time, you're like, these are better than the Jodie stories, but you don't have anything. At least the Jodie stories had something to say. Like,
right.
They're like, we're gonna throw a fucking wrench in this, and you might not like it, but at least you're trying that. This is it's the Rise of Skywalker to the Last Jedi. Like, it's purely we're just gonna do a thing you recognize, and whether that's good or not, hopefully you like it because you recognize it. And I don't hate it. Like, I think they're overall they're B plus seasons. All of that to say, they get to the end and they are out of fucking ideas, and then they do one of the craziest fucking things I've seen. And what got me was I hadn't watched the finale, and I'm on TikTok, and I had heard a rumor. I had not heard the Billy Piper rumor.
Right.
I had heard another rumor.
Right.
And the official Doctor Who TikTok page, I'm scrolling through TikTok, and it comes up. And within 3 seconds, I'm like, oh, that rumor I heard is absolutely true.
Right,
like,
right.
This is 100% real. I'm just going to watch this clip, because now that I know the thing that I thought might be happening is happening, I'll fucking watch it. And then I keep watching it, and I get to the Billy Piper part of this, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I just don't. It's so clear that, and I was very excited for Russell T. Davies to come back. It's so clear that it's just like, we don't know what to do.
Right.
We're just going to throw all the shit on the wall, and hopefully something sticks, and it's going to get people back on board. This Disney Plus era, again, it's better than the Jodie Whittaker era, but it sucks for Jodie and for Nakushi, because they're both great doctors. But they don't know what to do with Doctor Who anymore. And it kind of sucks. It's sad. It's sad.
You know, I have to
say, are you a Billy Piper fan? Are you a Rose fan?
Yeah, I like Rose. Yeah.
So I'm just asking. That motivate you to keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. mean, by the way, I don't want to say, like, Rose is my favorite, but
Donna should be your favorite.
Yeah, of course. Donna's the funniest.
Yeah, Donna's the best.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know how podcasts work. When one person stops talking, the other person should talk more.
He thinks I'm going to say more.
No, I thought you had more. I thought he was.
I just wanted to be clear about you.
I thought that was a dramatic pause for you to. So, you know, you guys know, because of the tinnitus, I have to sleep with something on the TV. I've started sleeping to the old Doctor Who.
I did that for a long time, yeah.
It's so... Because, you know, my experience with Doctor Who is from when I was a little kid, the fourth Doctor, fucking Scarf Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Colin Baker.
Yeah, that's the only one I knew from a kid, because that's the one they played on PBS at like 10:30 at night on Saturday. Tom Baker, right. Yeah. I'm in the pocket for that guy, but all the guy, the one before him and him, definitely. It just, I'm watching it now as an adult, and all I'm thinking is cocaine. Mm. Like, these guys are just having a great time. Everybody's so sweaty.
Yeah,
nothing makes sense. Yeah. And I love the inconsistencies in budget. Like, one episode will be like, oh, they built a whole lot of shit for this episode, and the next one's like, oh, they're just inside of a house pretending like it's a boat.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, those are super fun and super weird.
What blows my mind is we've had two seasons of this Disney run of Doctor Who. Not one fucking Dalek episode.
Really?
Not a single episode with the classic Doctor Who villain.
Right.
In Jodie's seasons, they were only used for specials. So in the last, we've gone through four Doctors in 6 years.
Right.
Not a good fucking run of Doctors. But on top of that is that we've had the classic Doctor Who villain maybe three times.
Right.
And it just blows my mind. Like, you want to know what fucking works? Daleks work. It's worked for 60 goddamn years. Why is that the thing? You're like, no, I can't do the trash can plunger guy. Right. I gotta get that with that.
People want to see the trash can plunger. They want to hear the voice. Yeah. They want to hear exterminate.
Yeah.
That's...
It's mind-boggling to me. Let me write this fucking show, please.
I love that I derailed the podcast for an extra half hour about Doctor
Who. My bad. I started talking about British television, and it did cross my mind. I was like, I should talk about
it. I'm confident it was no more than like 4 minutes of airtime, but it felt like 2 hours to me.
If you wouldn't have brought up a British TV show, I wouldn't have thought of it. So it's basically your fault.
It is, 100%. All right, well, that's it for this week, I think. Let's see, do we want to try and do Andor next time?
Yeah, we can shoot for Andor or Kraven or anything else we've talked about.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm down for doing Kraven, but I am desperate for our fives of listeners to hear my takes on Andor.
Okay, well, Andor or Kraven, depending on how far I get.
If I see Sinners by then, I could.
Well, yeah, so many options. But thanks everybody for listening. I don't think we got an email. I'm not going to check. please rate and subscribe. Tell your friends about the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us at realphonies@gmail.com, and we might read your email.
Unlike this week when we didn't.
Oh, well, now you're making me feel bad about it, but I'm not going back. I won't be a coward.
Commit to the bit.
100%.
Yeah, commit to the bit.
Thank you to Zach Evans for art and Brian Velasquez for our theme. We'll see you guys next time.
Later.